My brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you fear? I think all of us have something, or at least to some degree, that we're afraid of. Maybe your fear is the fear of heights. Maybe you fear flying. Let's be honest, both of them really are a fear of falling, because that's the bad part of it. Maybe your fear is getting up in front of a group of people and being the center of attention. I don't want to be the one who has to sit there and speak. The idea of public speaking is absolutely terrifying. I realize it's not for everybody. Maybe your fear is something else. Maybe it's something simpler. You have a fear of arachnids. You have a fear of snakes. You have a fear of insects. There's so many possibilities. So many different things. Yet I think all of us fear something. How about the fear of being alone? Do you have that fear? What I'm talking about, though, isn't just being left alone for a day or a week or even a month. What I mean by that is, do you fear being completely and absolutely alone? When you need someone the most, you know you'll have no one to turn to. You have no family, you have no friends, you have no one. The idea of being completely isolated from the rest of the world, nowhere to turn. I think all of us, to at least some degree, legitimately have that fear. And for good reason. God made us to be social creatures. He created human beings to seek out companionship from one another. We long for it. We look for it. And it's a necessity. It's part of who we are. It's part of how we're made. We're not intended to be solo individuals, all out on our own, without any connections to the world. In fact, it's been proven. You take a look at what has happened in certain situations or studies that have been run, and you know what happens to human beings who completely isolate themselves from any human contact? After enough time, they will literally go certifiably insane. Because we're not made to be alone. We're intended to be social creatures and to have communication, to have connection with other people. And then we go back to the book of Genesis. Right here in creation itself, the sixth day of God's creation, and God makes human beings just the way we are, with the need for social interaction and all. But the way He does it is so wonderful, it's so beautiful, and it highlights the blessings that God gives in those relationships. Because as we look at Genesis, we do realize it's not good to be alone. Which is why God gives us blessings in the relationships that we have here in this life. Moses, as he records here in Genesis, these words that were passed down to him, as he was recalled to him what took place in creation, we get this beautiful picture of what God is establishing. Let's take a look again. Genesis chapter 2, it says this: "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is a suitable partner for him.' Out of the soil, the Lord God had formed every wild animal and every bird of the sky, and He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called every living creature, that became its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the sky and to every wild animal. But for Adam, no helper was found who was a suitable partner for him." I love the way God does this. In fact, when you really break it down, when you really look at what God is doing, you realize just how wise, how intelligent He is. Because God designs human beings intentionally in a way that makes them realize their need for one another. Because this is how it goes. God had intended all along to make man and woman. And yet He doesn't do it right away. He creates Adam. He puts Adam in the garden. He puts Adam into this beautiful world. But He doesn't just create Eve and bring her to Him and say, "Here, you're going to need a partner." Instead, He prompts Adam to come to the realization that he needs her. He says, "If you go and name all these animals, I'll bring the animals to you. Whatever you call them, that is what its name will be." And I can picture the scene, can you? Adam stands there, and as all these animals come really parading forth in front of him. He sees all of them in their groups. He sees them with their companions. And as he sees that there is more than one of each one of these, he looks around and realizes, where's mine? I don't have a suitable helper. If you want to get somebody to really be invested in an idea, if you want them to take charge of some project and run with it, do you know what the best way to get someone to do that is? Convince them that the project is their idea. If you can get someone to invest themselves in it, if they are the ones who came up with the concept, they will pour an infinite amount of energy and effort into making sure it succeeds because it's their baby. It's theirs. It's proven. It's been shown. If you can get people truly invested in the idea, then they'll find value in it. Not as much if you just told them it's a good idea. God is investing Adam in this. He's getting him really to come up with the idea of, I don't have a suitable helper for me. What am I supposed to do? Now Adam sees the need for it, which is when God provides the blessing. We continue in Genesis. The Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. As the man slept, the Lord God took a rib and closed up the flesh where it had been. The Lord God built a woman from the rib that he had taken from the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, now this one is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will remain united with his wife, and they will become one flesh. What a beautiful thing. God gives this blessing to Adam. Now as he realizes that he doesn't have a partner, as he realizes there's things he cannot do on his own, and that it wasn't intended for him to be alone, because as God said, it's not good for him to be alone. God provides the need. And in such a beautiful, intimate way. I mean, Eve is quite literally bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She's crafted from the very rib of Adam. You cannot get any more intimately connected than that. That's one of the blessings I think we have in this world that we take for granted. Think about it. We all come from the same bone. Adam was the only one created from the dust of the earth entirely and only. God takes the rib from Adam to create Eve. How connected they were. And if all of us come as really descendants of Adam and Eve, well then so too we are so beautifully and intimately connected together. It doesn't matter our culture. It doesn't matter our language. It doesn't matter what structure our facial features take or color our skin is. We all come from the same. Intimately crafted together for each other's benefit. And as similar as we are, though, we also are just as dissimilar. Every single person is different. We have different abilities and different talents. We have different capabilities. We all bring something different to the table. Let's not forget the beauty of God's blessing in the fact that he created male and female differently. There's beauty there. There's a wonderful blessing there that we are different and that we are unique. We were made differently. In general, men tend to have more physical power and strength. In general, women tend to have more emotional support and stability capability. It's the way God made us. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a blessing. It's a wonderful gift that we are different. And there are things that men do that maybe are easier than if a lady tried to do it. And there are things that, let's face it, guys, the ladies do that we shouldn't try. God did not create males to carry offspring. We don't have the anatomy. And it was never intended to be. But we all know that it takes two. This is the blessing God gives in marriage. Male and female, created differently, but from the same. Brought together so that they can complement each other. That one's weaknesses can be made up by the other's strength so that together they can do it. What they wouldn't be able to do alone. Because it's not good to be alone. They needed a partner. So do we. We do need to take a moment, though, to really look at this, because we live in a culture that is doing everything it can to twist God's blessing of marriage. And I think it's important for us to at least acknowledge that and to understand that. To say that our world is trying to make marriage something that it's not. Because they look at it and go that marriage is nothing but some secular cultural initiative. And that we can go do away with it if we want to. It's not important. It's not vital. That's not what we have here. When God brings Eve to Adam, he's establishing this relationship. He was establishing marriage. This is God's institution, not man's. God gets to dictate what it is. So notice what he says. Marriage, one man, one woman, united together as one flesh for life. No matter what our culture may try to tell you that marriage should be, God still gets to define what he established. And this is how he defines it. And as we take it for what it is, we receive the blessings that are there. The two will become one flesh. And as Moses really has a commentary on it, this is the reason why a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife. The two will become one. Because there's blessings there in that relationship. But you know, there's blessings in other relationships too. It's not good for us to be alone. But marriage isn't for everyone. And not everybody is going to get married in their lifetime. And that's fine. In fact, we know it's fine. And the reason why is because the Apostle Paul wrote that if you can overcome the passions of your flesh, then it would be good not to marry. He said that in the Bible. Which means it's God's word speaking through Paul, doesn't it? Which means God is saying that. It must mean that it's okay for individuals to not be married. There's blessings in companionship that go outside of that marriage relationship. Not to downplay how beautiful the blessings of marriage are. Not at all. But we have blessings outside of this too. Because it's not good to be alone. And we're not. None of us are. Because what God has done is he has bonded us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's just like was written in our gospel lesson. Jesus, God's own Son, perfect in every single way, the one who would pour out his blood on the cross, does so that blood would bind us in blood. So that now Jesus, remember, that perfect Son of God, looks at sinners like us and says, I am not ashamed to call them my brothers and my sisters. And suddenly we've been adopted into God's family. We have blessings in our family structure. Husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, grandparents, children, all along the lines. We see the blessings that are there. God gives us those blessings in our church family too. It's not good to be alone. And we're not in this alone. As we look around us and we see our brothers and sisters in Christ and realize maybe those in the church who take on the motherly and the fatherly role or the grandparents' role, and that's just kind of how they are revered, but we are bonded together. We are together in this. We're not alone because it's not good to be alone. If we're left all on our own, bad things will happen. That's why coming together like we are right now to join together in worship and praise of our God is so vital. Because when we leave ourselves all on our own, we get some really weird ideas into our heads. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't need to be here right now. I could still go home and read a couple scripture readings and sing a hymn, right? And so could you. But I'd be losing out on some tremendous blessings. I wouldn't be able to have the fellowship that we have together. I wouldn't be able to realize that I'm not alone in this. This world absolutely hates Christ. It hates everything that the Bible stands for. It wants to do away with it all. And Satan loves it if he can isolate us because he's strong enough to overcome us as individuals. And then all of a sudden, when we get out on our own, we think we're the only ones here. How am I supposed to withstand this? And we're overpowered. But when we bind ourselves together as brothers and sisters in Christ, As you look around right now and see the others who are gathered here, you realize we're not alone, are we? We're in this together. We encourage one another. We support one another. We help each other up when we fall and when we stumble, comforting each other when we are weak and when we are troubled. There's beauty in that relationship. We are not intended to be alone, and God binds us together through His blood so that we can truly be a Christian family, united together with all the blessings that He gives. It's not good for us to be solitary. You ever thought about that, though? You ever wondered to yourself, man, it would be a whole lot easier if I just tried to do this on my own, because it seems like every relationship I've ever been in has brought about frustration and heartache. And it's true, isn't it? Just like with everything else, sin has a tendency to take God's blessings and to twist them so that they're complicated. For those of you who are married, you realize that once you got married, it brings about a few headaches and frustrations. Sometimes there's trouble. Sometimes there's disagreements and drama. And you might think to yourselves, man, it'd be a whole lot easier if I just forgot about all this, if I just didn't have it. If it was just me, I can deal with myself. But when I have to deal with somebody else, when I have to deal with their problems and their complications, with all of their bad habits, it gets a whole lot more complicated. Maybe we get into our minds the fact that it would be a whole lot easier if we just stayed on our own. But then we also realize that when left to our own devices, we don't always make the wisest choices. Sometimes we need somebody to point out to us when we're being foolish, when we're making mistakes, or to be the one who says, I'll be here when you have no one else to turn to. You want to know what, for me, is probably the greatest blessing I find in marriage? It's the fact of when you know or when your spouse knows why you are having a bad day when it's obviously not the reason you told them why you're having a bad day. When there's a complication that comes up but your spouse knows you so well that realizes the true reason why you are upset is because of the wound that got opened over 20 years ago over some small, minuscule little thing that still causes you problems today, and how this little event that happened 3 hours ago triggered it. And you don't even need to say it. Your spouse knows you that well. And so they give you the comfort you need. Maybe not even the ones you're asking for. That is a beautiful gift of God, and that's a beautiful relationship to have. And we have that. We have that blessing in marriage. We have that blessing as a Christian community, as we support one another, and we realize we're not in this alone. We've been brought together by our brother Jesus Christ, who won salvation for us. We have a lot of fears. There's a lot of things that we may be afraid are going to happen in the future, but we don't ever have to worry about being alone, because we have each other. We have our God. We have the promise that we are continuing to walk through this life arm in arm and hand in hand as we walk toward heaven's gates, where our God will be there to welcome us with open arms and with all the saints who have gone before us. We're not in this alone. And that's good. It's not good for us to be alone. But we support each other. And we have blessing upon blessing that God gives through it. Amen.